I didn't need to hear that.
Three, two, one.
And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV.
Climax sold separately.
Hey, Mickey.
From start to finish, you'll love every drop.
Paladin.
Oh, yay.
Ken.
Blah, blah, Digimon, blah, blah, pretty gear.
And Fort Max.
It's about 19 inches.
Okay, it's superhero time. I'm XV.
Hooray.
Shut up. I'm XV, of course, and with us this week we have Ken.
Yo.
Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Hey.
I said shut up. And hey, Mickey's not here this week because his mother is a whore. So, remember last week we talked about that new Saban trademark Power Rangers Megaforce?
Oh, God.
There's a little bit of a new wrinkle in that. Paladin, why don't you tell us what that is?
Well, Saban has now registered a second trademark for the name Ultra Megaforce.
I don't want to live in this world anymore.
Okay, so before we started the show and we were talking about this, I suggested that this is obviously them trying to secure an avenue to do a new Ultraman series.
Oh, please, God, no.
See, I'm thinking everything Saban does Toka-related now is going to be a form of Megaforce.
Oh, God.
So, you know, we have Power Rangers Megaforce, which is probably the Ghost Ager adaptation. Ultra Megaforce, which of course is going to be some, like, 15-year-old Ultraman series adapted.
That's all there is to work with.
Well, no, there's the recent clip show.
I'll encourage them.
Oh, great. I can just see it now.
The entire
Ultra Mega Warrior Leader.
Mega Warrior.
No, that'll be for the translation of the Ultra Galaxy Mega, the movie from a few years back. I can't even talk straight now.
And then, you know, they'll update the Power Rider trademark to be Power Rider Mega Force, which you know, that would work for like Kabuto or something.
Maybe they'll just redo Ryuki again.
Yeah, every American Rider series from now on is just going to be Ryuki again and again and again.
until Toys R Us is finally rid of all the toys.
So never.
Yeah.
Bandai will just send a roll of stickers to every Toys R Us.
To relabel the toys,
yes,
for every new line.
That's actually not. And it still will not work.
Yeah, but after a few rebrandings, they'll have the cheapest current toys on the market.
Don't they already?
Well, no, because they're not current anymore.
No, I think he means like in construction.
No, because Toys R Us never puts anything on clearance.
Well, the Dragon Knight figures at the Toys R Us
figures have been on clearance at my Toys R Us for about a year and a half, at least.
Yeah, $3-$4. That's like half the price they started out.
So what's going to go first, them or Tuner Mudflap?
I think Prince of Persia, actually. Because Prince of Persia came out on clearance.
Yes, it did!
Which I'm very confused by, because that's like a KB Toys move, not a Toys R Us move.
At my bigger Toys R Us, there is still one lone Tuner Mudflap sitting in the front.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Well, up until just recently, one of the ones in Nashville still had the first movie exclusive, the Voyagers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
With the other mud flap?
Yeah, actually. But this is the Transformers podcast. Look what you've done.
No, about that season finale. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is the Toku podcast. So
that's exactly why we're talking about something that isn't Toku.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes, because I can't even remember what the theme of the show is to say so.
Ultra Megaforce.
Yes. Yes, this is the Ultra Megaforce podcast.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Starting next week, we're going to rename the show Superhero Time Ultra Megaforce. Turbo Edition.
Isn't it just Super Ultra Mega Force?
Extreme Ultra Mega Force.
Ultra Mega Force time.
Oh, boy.
And on a related note, apparently Toei is interested in adapting Kamen Rider for...
bringing Kamen Rider to the U.S. again. They're not interested in adapting it.
Yeah, they don't want to lose money.
They're going to be the ones to do that. They're going to be the ones the people doing that pay a whole lot of money to.
But no, I mean, this could go along with the Power Rider thing from a month or two back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It always turns out well for Toei, just nobody else.
Well, okay, remember... Well, Fort Max probably remembers this, but during the first Transformers Universe line, there was the Machine Robo Rescue tiny little sub-branding on, like, two toys. That was a move so that Hasbro could block Bandai from bringing over Machine Robo toys.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they're going to call them Mega Force.
No, Ultra Mega Force. We've established this.
The point I was trying to reach before the in-jokes happened was, securing Power Rider and, well, I doubt Ultra Megaforce has anything to do with it, but getting Power Rider ahead of time just in case they want to work with it later on, you know, that prevents anybody from cock-blocking them on their adaptations. What?
Why?
I said it, so. Why what?
Why would anyone bother... putting the money for just to keep them from using a name for a Masked Rider adaptation?
Because Bandai.
And because Saban.
Not two that great taste anymore, to be honest.
Two great tastes that do dumb things together.
And separately.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so if they do adapt... if another Masked Rider gets made, what series would they use to base it on? I'm kind of in favor of Kabuto because it's so, like, shiny and toyetic.
Of course, so are any of the more recent shows, too.
I think they'll just screw with us completely and do Kamen Rider Black.
They already did that on some episodes.
Exactly.
Not to mention Z-O and J.
That's Z-O.
I'm sorry.
Otherwise, it sounds like you're talking about Power Rangers.
It does. Stronger than before. Sorry.
Maybe they'll screw with us even more and bring Shin over.
That would go well.
I'm surprised they didn't mix clips of that into Saban's Masked Rider.
Saban's Masked Rider would have had much better reception if there were more decapitations.
Well, yeah, but only if it had been the, you know, American actors. I think that probably would have been a little out of the budget. Actually,
no,
I think the craft services put them out of budget.
No, they're non-union.
I think that juice box he ate in the first episode put them out of budget.
Well, here's the thing. It's non-union. Boxes. You just use the actors.
Use them for what? Because they certainly weren't using... certainly weren't using them for acting.
They're using them for warm bodies.
All the more reason. They'd be easy to replace.
I may be a little bit biased, but I'd like to see Double get adapted.
I still think that if they're going to go, like the route they've been going and trying to adapt things a bit more directly, Double would probably fit better for an American audience than some series.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the most interesting of the recent Rider series in Japan. So
yeah, and just the whole detective theme is kind of a bit, you know, more universal.
And if they brought it here, they could re-edit it so it wouldn't tie directly into Decade.
That's true. Well,
they didn't need to do that. I mean, the TV series.
Why would they need to re-edit it so it didn't tie into Decade?
It's only one movie or two movies that do that anyway. So
I can still see Decade confusing a lot of new fans, especially if they start with just that movie.
Well, I don't think they would start with the movie.
And Double doesn't really do much aside from just show up out of nowhere and beat up
Shadow Moon.
Shadow Moon. So
yeah, it's hardly required.
No.
So.
Robo Rider.
Rider.
Didn't they do more than
what?
Didn't they do more than that in Begins Night?
But that wasn't the start. That wasn't the starting movie with Decade.
They don't even really have to adapt that necessarily.
No, not really.
They'd want to do the parts with Skull though.
Maybe not, because it would be just as easy to you know, eliminate Skull from the story altogether.
Yeah, because they've more. I mean, because they, in Samurai, they've skipped the introduction of the Kyoryu origami. So, since they're basically going in order of everything from Shinkinger,
they also skipped introducing Decade, Dien, and Kuga into Samurai too.
And they also skipped introducing Samurai until.
Skipped introducing Samurai into Samurai. So yeah, their logic does not necessarily. Well, there is no logic, so.
Which was to be my next point.
Yeah.
It's Bandai logic, which is to say none at all.
Yeah.
Or Nickelodeon logic, which is even worse.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, this was definitely just Nickelodeon.
It's like a
deciding to wait and do the origin story as a special so they can not hype it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love the commercial for next week.
And then not even bother airing frog, and then not even bother showing it in HD.
Yeah.
That was the weird part, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the weird part.
But yeah, apparently the second episode of Shinkinger is the fate of the universe.
Yeah.
Well, every episode of Shinkinger is the fate of the universe.
God, I want to watch Shinkinger again now.
We should do that one week.
We could. Although, if y'all remember, we talked about the last few episodes in the first few weeks of the podcast.
Nobody wants to remember the first few weeks of this podcast. Well, really, any week of this podcast, but I still stand by that point.
Yeah, you may have a point there. But see, for what we'll do for an episode where we talk about Shinkinger for Power Playback, I'll just go back to one of those early episodes and lift the conversation from that and just paste it in the episode so we don't even have to watch or talk about it now.
So in other words, you'll samurize it.
Let's samurize, guys.
Let's don't.
Well, you make fun, Paladin, but I actually have the power cord sound clip I can insert there.
I know, I remember that.
Well, why shouldn't I?
Because it's work.
Well, I like doing that work. I like putting silly sounds in the show and picking out silly things you say so I can make fun of them later.
Never noticed.
Because that's why you get beat off.
Uh-huh.
We got a good intro this week.
Oh, do you?
Well, I say that, but I don't actually specifically remember what I put in it. Because I put it together at, like, 3 in the morning.
That's encouraging.
You have the same feeling towards Ken's mother, don't you?
Because I put it in at 3 in the morning.
And you don't remember what it was.
Yeah. It died.
For a nickel.
Speaking of Toys R Us, as we were about 10 minutes ago, those Shinkinger figure arts have actually been spotted in the wild at Toys R Us. On shelves, even. Unfortunately, nobody seems to have bothered giving specific locations where they've been found. But the photos and receipts kind of prove the point.
Yep.
They are actually on the website again, too.
Yeah, just today the website...
Half off.
Yeah, just today the website had them back in stock. And apparently, I guess if the website has them for buy one, get one half off, if you can find them in the stores, it will be the same deal.
However, since we started this show, Shinken Gold has gone out of stock.
Well, from the pictures I saw of these on the shelves, there appears to be, like, 2 Shinken Gold for every 4 or more Shinken Reds in the assortment.
Shinken Gold? Well, that's the ratio for the normal action figures, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Shinken Gold being out of stock here is kind of ironic, considering that he hasn't sold worth a crap in Japan.
Yeah, you can still go on, you know, Japanese retail website and get an original run Shinken Gold with the Kuroko figure for the original selling price, or possibly even a little less.
Probably a little less.
Yeah. Depends where you go to look.
And Shinken Gold comes with Daigoyo, right?
Yes. Well, it comes with the lantern and the stick, the beating the stick. Mode. Yeah.
Now, if they edit that out of the show like we suspected last week, how are fans going to react to that here?
I don't know. Did fans like Daigoyo and Shinkinger?
Well, I didn't, but I'm not normal.
Right.
I did, but...
See, actually, I was kind of disappointed with Shinken Gold because the lantern did not have the head popped up.
Yeah, it's a, I was hoping that you just, you know, that at least it had that one little part.
Yeah. That's just kind of, but at least you can stick the sushi disc in the little slot in the front. So it looks like it's shooting it out. Kind of like how your mom works. No, I would definitely say, having paid that for my own Shinken Gold, that $35 is a good price for that. Red I'm a little iffier on, because I don't care as much about Shinken Red.
I can't say much, because I got them all when they first came out, so...
Well, of course you did.
So now what happens if they completely freak out and bring over the other four Shinkengers?
People will cry. And by cry, I mean scream already? Bloody murder.
Well, five Shinkengers.
Well, here's the thing, though. Weren't all of the Shinkengers besides Red and Gold exclusives in Japan?
Yes.
Right, so that's...
It was a convention exclusive.
Right, so that's why people are going to have, you know, major fits if you can go to Toys R Us and buy each of them for $35.
And, well, Bandai does tend to do whatever will piss off the most people.
Well, and you have to remember... And you have to remember, too... you know, Vegeta, which is a Tamashii Web exclusive in Japan, is being distributed by Bluefin for $40.
I think Correct. They're doing upcoming Goku also. I think that they came out of New York Comic Con or something like that.
Yeah, they're doing a non-Super Saiyan Goku. Which, was that a show exclusive in Japan when they did that?
I don't think they've even done that yet.
Yeah, I think that's new, actually.
I thought they had.
Shown him at toy shows.
Well, there you go.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Well, it'll sound fine on my recording.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, as well as it ever sounds on my recordings.
You'll just dub yourself over if it sounds like crap anyway.
I'm getting good at doing that, too, so it's definitely an option.
Oh, really?
But yeah, figure arts at Toys R Us, go buy them so they do more.
Please.
Go buy them so they release, like, you know, Gokaiger Figuarts.
Which are very, very nice.
Of course, even if they did release the Gokaiger Figuarts at Toys R Us, they wouldn't have the steering wheel bonuses.
Nope.
Damn. Now that I've got the one steering wheel, I kind of want the other four also.
So if Gosager is really Megaforce next year, will they bring over the Gosei Knight Figuart?
If they ever actually make it, probably.
Yeah. Still waiting on Gosei Knight and Juzo.
Yeah, I mean, if they had made Juzo already, I would halfway expect to see that turn up later on if Red and Gold sell, which they probably won't, so it's all academic anyway, but, you know.
Yeah.
They won't because it pisses you off.
They won't sell or they won't bring it over?
Yes.
Okay.
But you gotta think, they're also sitting on a shelf, and they're more expensive than even the Megazord, which is the most expensive samurai toy out there, probably.
Which is why I'm saying it probably won't sell to begin with.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Plus, it's at Toys R Us.
Which means it really won't sell for a really long time. We'll actually have the Gokaiger adaptation on the air, and still be able to go and buy a Figuarts Shinken Gold at full price.
Right next to the Jungle Fury cannon.
I don't think I've seen one of those lately. But it will be sitting there next to Kamen Rider Dragon Knight.
No, I don't have anything Jungle Fury at mine, but I do still have...
Oh,
and
the giant
RPM.
Pile of Star Wars movie... Star Trek movie toys.
Yes, that and the Terminator Salvation toys. And the Jurassic Park revival that lasted all of 24 seconds. We love our Toys R Us. Well, I've been to your Toys R Us in as much as I've been to Toys R Us, and they're all pretty much the same.
So it's same.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I still like how the Star Trek line didn't have the second wave come out, so you'll never be able to complete the Enterprise Bridge.
Well, the reason I like that happened is because I predicted that as soon as we found out that the bridge was going to be, you know, build it yourself, collect and build, whereas the place that was just a mat you put on your table. Way to go, Playmates.
Well, Playmates.
Yeah, I Yeah, but, you know, I mean, you have to remember, too, the Dragon Knight toys were out about the same time, and Terminator Salvation. It was just a bad year for licensed action figures.
Yep.
Still better than Mattel.
Well, yeah. That kind of goes without saying, though, doesn't it? And in other figure arts news, the Riot Trooper came out in Japan this week or something.
If you like Fies, you can now go Troop Build.
Oh, and you know what also came out this week in Japan? The Gokaiger Treasure Chest.
Oh, did it?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, good. More money I'll be spending soon.
And Joint Gitai Gokaio, I think.
The only way to get the Kaku Ranger Red Key.
Yeah.
The Red Alien Ranger.
Yep. No, it's the Red Aquilian Ranger, remember?
Aquilian Ranger?
I still have that sound clip, too. I save everything.
Aquilian Rangers.
Except your notice. Mom, because she died.
Yeah. Well, no, I still got her around. She's just not alive anymore. Still make money, though. Just more like a vending machine now. Coin-operated wow. Your mom. You know, just pop a little heater inside, and you never know the difference. So wrong.
Power Rider.
That implies anything is right with this show.
Okay, so
on that note,
how about we talk about the secret origin of Power Rangers Samurai?
Is that all we
how about not?
And now for something completely uninteresting.
So how about not?
Well, we should say something about it since, you know, it was supposed to be in February.
You can tell also because, I mean, their acting is still bad, but it's so much even worse.
Yeah, there's no Bulk and no Rick Medina to offset it.
And it's sad still that Rick Medina is offsetting it.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, Rick Medina seems to have gotten a little bit better in the intervening years.
Oh, yeah. But then again, that's also comparatively.
Well, yeah. But, you know, that might mean that in another 10 years, the actor who plays the Red Ranger in Samurai might be, you know, almost a decent actor, too.
No.
But it doesn't matter because he'll be waiting tables by then.
Well, that's still better than what Rick Medina has been doing for the last 10 years.
Not by much.
Although I imagine that Rick Medina also has had to wait a few tables in between moments when somebody wants him to remove his pants. The Rick Medina takes his pants off jokes are always better when Mickey's around. It's not really something I can support by myself. But yes, Power Rangers Samurai finally premiered this past weekend after airing 17 previous episodes. What the hell?
Yeah.
I cannot even discern the logic for this.
That's because there is none.
There is none, yeah, I know.
I almost want the franchise to go back to Disney now.
Or, no. Well, no, what you would want is, well, I guess for the airing to go back to a Disney-owned station.
Yes,
because
regardless of the quality of their shows, they at least aired it in f***ing airing order.
Yes!
When it wasn't preempted by football.
Yeah.
Well, when it was on the cable... When it was on cable, it wouldn't be preempted by football.
Oh, when it was on Toon Disney, it was great. It was on all the freaking time.
Which is kind of, well, yeah, I mean, on the cable channels, it can be on all the time because they have nothing else to air.
Oh, yeah.
They have five shows per season, which they have to fill 178 hours a week with.
Yeah. Much like your mother.
Right. And yes, I know there's only actually 168 hours in a week.
Of course you do.
Numbers. So yeah, that was Power Rangers Samurai, and next week on part two of the Secret Origins of Power Rangers Samurai, the fate of the universe is in the balance.
I don't know what to say on this.
Yeah, and to make it even to screw up even more.
How could they?
by forgetting to air to put the HD version on the HD channel.
Right.
Yeah. There was something odd about my encode.
They put up a letterboxed, upscaled version, didn't they?
Letterboxed and pillar boxed.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just letterboxed, then it wouldn't have been Nick that did it. It would have been the people who subbed Agito the first time. When you letterbox a widescreen show.
Well, actually, that was the re-encodes of it, because...
Whatever, I don't care about the details. The joke is what matters.
But...
You and your facts can go shut up and let me have my bad humor, Fort Max. Well, that was Power Rangers Samurai for this week.
And it sure was episode
That was
one
worth
of,
waiting 6 months for.
Right.
No, wait, eight
it sure
months.
It sure was a badly dubbed version of episode one of Shinkenger.
It really was, because like you said on Twitter before, even the theme music started in the same
exact
place.
Same spot up until the exact same point.
I was actually expecting for them to just go wholesale with it and put the Power Rangers logo over it and not run the actual intro.
Yeah. I expected the Shinkenger logo at that point.
Well, there has to be limits.
No, there isn't.
Well, besides, it wouldn't really be the Shinkenger logo because they were still mixing it back and forth with American footage.
Yeah, almost everything except for the swim meet is basically shot for shot, and even that basically is. And yet, it's just
as much as a swim meet can be shot for shot with the Kabuki.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
They tried.
No, they didn't.
Well, and the used just black vans with tinted windows instead of those.
Well, no, I mean, that, if you think about it, that's kind of like the Kurokos, because they are still all black.
Yeah.
It's just that they're cars now instead of people.
With this guy escorting her that we never see again.
Well, yeah, we never actually saw, like, the driver.
So maybe it was a Kuroko.
No, we saw the driver when it stopped, when, what's-his-face stopped it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was behind Tent, but there was a driver in there.
Yeah, but we never actually got a good look at the driver.
Yeah.
Right?
Regardless, it's still somebody that we never see again, so just it's even
and don't care about because it's f***ing samurai.
And I can't help but think they expand. The only thing that they expand on is the worst thing they could have expanded on with Jaden and his father.
Yeah.
This is going to bite them at the ass if they're doing exactly what they're obviously going to do.
Well, it kind of felt the same way in Shinkenger when it got to that point.
Except in Shinkenger, they left it kind of vague enough. It was just him stumbling forward in the fire. They didn't show that he was Shinken Red. He just gave Takeru the origami. He didn't. It didn't necessarily say explicitly. There was still enough vagueness to it.
But I also want to say that it's just more. It is more clear to see it that way when you're looking back, knowing the whole picture. You know.
That's true.
But of course it's going to be wildly inconsistent from the start to the finish because it's Power Rangers and that's what it does.
Yeah, it's just that whenever they actually do change something, even like during an episode, if they change a certain line of dialogue, then they'll have another line of dialogue later on that contradicts it because then they're adapting the Shinkenger episode.
Yeah.
Like even just like the first episode, I should say. They had stuff like that with their conversations. So
right, crap.
Yeah,
yeah, that's samurai, all right.
Yeah,
I just don't even know what to say on it anymore. Can we talk about Garo instead?
No, but we will talk about Gokaiger.
I had to try.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this, and if we talk about Garo every week, the show will be much too long.
Oh, yes, I know.
So, you know, screw you.
I said instead.
Instead of what?
Samurai.
Well, just wait till the rerun season again. That's probably only going to be another, like, 4 or 5 weeks.
I think it might be just 1 week until they're back in reruns.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. So, on Gokaiger this week, Luca's been out shopping and, of course, took Doc along as the shopping cart.
I like how he's begging her to just carry one bag.
And, of course, she gives no f*** because it's Doc.
Well, naturally. I mean, why would she?
Would you?
And because there's money on the street.
Yeah, she's thrilled to find a 500 yen coin. And really, with the exchange rate, I would be too.
That's, what, $7 now?
Yeah. At least. Doc starts talking about how they need to turn it into the police on Earth.
What a good pirate.
I know.
Especially considering what happened last time they went there.
Yeah, really. Their argument, though, is preempted when the coin is shot out of her hand and falls down a storm drain. Ready to go all Luca smash on whoever did that, she and Doc discover they've been set upon by Sigorman and a small unit of dump troops. Things look bad, I'm not sure for who, when who comes to save the day but Kirihiko?
Oh, shit. With a briefcase.
Yeah, he whips out a metal case and is probably all set to sell the Sigorman some Gaia memories.
That has to have been on purpose.
Or maybe he just ends up bribing them to leave Luca and Doc alone, whatever.
But yeah,
I think the bribery is more entertaining.
I can't help but think that had to have been on purpose.
I'm sure it was.
And also be thankful he has pants on this time.
Yes, yes.
Thankfully.
That fact was not lost on me throughout the entire episode.
You kept waiting for that moment, didn't you? Like,
oh, no, actually, this was fun, though, because it was like the episode with the card game where it showed the Sigorman having quite a bit of personality.
Yeah. Of course, the bit with the Sigorman does get a little bit better.
Well, yeah, but we'll get there in a little bit.
Yes, of course, suddenly remembering that they have to have things to go do.
Yeah. So it turns out Kirihiko is someone Luca knew from her home planet. And Kirihiko mentions about being able to make Luca's dream come true, and they go off to catch up, leaving Doc to go back to the galleon alone in a bit of a funk. On the Zangak ship, Gil is pleased with how his plan is going, and it's so good they intercepted that space businessman on his way to Earth, and I'm not even making that part up, that's what they said. Space businessman.
Well, probably better than what Navi called him.
We'll get there, I suppose.
Apparently the Sigorman were bribed with the Zangak's own money, which Gil now demands be returned. A Sigorman hands over the case, but as Gil checks the bundles, he can tell money is missing out of them, and he chases the thieving...
No, just by holding some of the stacks.
Yeah, and he chases the thieving grunt right out of the bridge, while everybody else is amazed by his skillful stinginess.
He's the spoiled son of the Emperor. Money's probably the only thing he actually knows.
Speaking of the Emperor, the bills. Is this the first time we've seen what a Zagan looks like?
Probably.
Could be.
Is this the first look we've actually gotten at Gil's daddy?
Could be.
Assuming it's him and not like some ancestor. Because we don't know how long they've been in control of the universe.
Oh, this is true. But I'm just saying, if that does end up being his father, that's a nice little way to sneak it in.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put it past them either. That's very in style with how they're doing the series.
Yeah.
So Kirihiko leads Luca to the abandoned warehouse district, probably looking for a private place to reminisce.
Right.
But no, it's just a trap.
A lot more than a nickel for Luca.
A private place to sell her some Gaia memories.
It's just a trap, though, as Kirihiko goes behind some crates and pulls out the unconscious body of Kirihiko. Well, we couldn't predict that after the duplicate shown in the preview last week, right?
No, right. Of course not.
So the Xerox monster captures Luca and in an absolutely shocking twist disguises itself as her.
Using the copy mechanism taken from Dekaranger.
Yeah. up on the galleon, the others have been talking about that Luca might just take off now if Kirihiko can really help her realize her dream. And what did Navi call him?
Hold on.
Sugar daddy.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes. King of the sugar daddies.
Yeah. But Doc is positive that she wouldn't just leave like that. Luca comes back and says running into Kirihiko is no big deal and just wants to go ahead and have dinner. Now remember, kids, eat your broccoli and even steal it off of everybody else's plates.
And be spoon-fed by I'm...
So everybody
yeah,
is
no frightening subtext there at all.
Everyone
I'm
admires
not sure about frightening subtext, but there's some text.
Ah, everyone admires. Everybody admires Luca's appetite, and they're sure she'll sleep well and probably have all kinds of gnarly gas from all that broccoli too. Later, after everyone has gone to sleep, Luca creeps around in the galleon planting bombs. Setting one last one in the crow's nest, the monster retakes its original form and flies down to the ground. And amazingly, not wasting any time at all, it triggers the detonator and the galleon vanishes in a huge fireball. That's like the most effective monster in the whole series so far.
Isn't he, though? He just doesn't, he doesn't even beat around the bush.
This isn't even like the Sneak Brothers.
No, he's just like gonna straight up murder them. I'm surprised he didn't shoot them in their sleep.
That would have been a good second option.
It would have.
Then how did he make a show of it?
Yeah. In the warehouse, the real Kirihiko kicks Luca until she wakes up.
Such a nice guy.
They talk a bit about the past, and Kirihiko can't believe she's hooked up with space pirates. So we get a flashback to how Luca tried to steal some Zangak treasure, but ended up getting overpowered by dump troops and such.
I did like how in the flashbacks that they go from mentioning and showing her sister and then cutting to after she was dead, which we already found out earlier.
Right. So Luca is saved by Marvelous and Joe's timely arrival, who just happened to coincidentally be there to steal the same treasure. Marvelous is surprised to find anybody else trying to clean out the Zangak as well, and wants Luca to join his crew. She's not really interested, though, until Marvelous makes her believe the ultimate treasure just might be real, and she realizes what she could do with a treasure worth everything in the universe.
Not just by a planet, not just by a whole planet, by apparently going to Megarthia or something, but by buying the universe.
It's Magrathia.
Yeah, but it's also Fort Max. Yeah, Luca wants to start Planet Orphanage, also known as USA's Dynaman. And so house all the children who lost their homes and families to the Zangak.
Also lizards.
Maybe later. but this moment is interrupted when the monster returns and says the Gokaigers go boom and her and Kirihiko are next. But it'll have to wait as the monster is being shot the f*** up right now. Because that's just how the Gokaigers roll.
I like the scene where they just lay out their deduction. It reminds me a lot of how a lot of times when in Shinkenger, when they would run up against a monster and figure out what he was doing and then turn back and tell him exactly everything that they knew about his weaknesses. Except this time, they figured it out without even fighting him.
Yeah, they were onto the copy plot right away because Luca hates broccoli. And apparently being spoon-fed.
By eye.
Which
implies she has tried.
Well, it is I'm.
She has tried.
So, after the monster went planting the bomb, they followed right behind and removed them all, and then had Furaimaru use a ninja technique to make the galleon appear to explode.
Because they just don't have enough ways to sell Furaimaru yet.
Well, it was a clever use of him, at least.
I suppose.
And last week, they just had the monster...
Have the worst case of indigestion ever.
All of the hymns.
Yeah, and get the worst case of indigestion he ever had. So, cut to fight scene. Luca's not wasting time with the dump troops and goes to beat ass on the monster, who goes ahead and copies her again.
Oh, plus we have a new song at that.
Yeah, this is from the third mini album, for anybody looking for it.
Ah, I have not gotten that yet.
But even wearing a Gokai yellow suit, the monster can't hope to match her fighting ability and is easily sent flying through some steel drums. Because this is the abandoned warehouse district, remember?
Of course.
Guy rushes to her aid, not noticing there's two of yellow. And despite Luca's warnings, the monster copies Silver next, and Guy kind of takes it personal. By which I mean he punches the other Gokai Silver right in the face. So they're scuffling around a little bit, and nobody knows how to figure out who the real Gokai Silver is. But Luca gets the idea and tells the guys that it's time for a Gokai change.
I like Doc's idea, though, and Joe's response.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, both are correct in context.
Like, let's ask a question. You have an idea of what question that's going to be?
Right. I guess they didn't bring the Super Sentai Encyclopedia with them that day, either.
One day they'll learn.
Maybe they just let Furaimaru blow that up. so they wouldn't have to study it.
So everybody changes to Mega Ranger, except for the duplicate Gokai Silver, who has no access to Ranger keys. So it didn't really matter what Ranger key set they used. It would have been the same result, I'm sure.
Well, as long as it was one with the sixth member.
Now, see, that would have been good if they had more time left in the episode, if she would have pulled out a five-man team's key.
And then Guy cuss her out. And then, actually, at the point Guy cusses her out, they would know it was him.
See, now that would have been much more impressive in terms of how to write the episode.
I would have liked it a lot more if they did that.
Yeah.
It really works, though.
It works, but it lacks a little flair that we've just come up with.
Yeah, this is true.
So after getting exploded and saddle lasered, the monster hides as a tall building, which is pretty clever.
Yeah, it's a thoughtful mecha battle.
Yeah, and he just waits for Gokai and Gojujin to turn away from the building he's hiding as before he attacks them every time.
Lately, actually, they've been getting a bit more thoughtful with mecha battles in general, it seems like.
Yeah, I still look back to Gojujin versus Wolzard and...
While tripping over everyone else.
Yeah. Plus the Live Man episode and even the finisher last week.
Well, I mean, I guess that's good after Gokaiger's mecha content being a little lackluster to start with.
Yeah.
I mean, the battle in the first episode where Gokaio Rider kicks through the Zangak fleet.
Yeah.
That was pretty damn awesome.
Well,
but like,
used up your CGI budget.
I know, but...
So was the Decaranger episode battle, too, was good.
But they set the mark a little too high, a little too early.
Yeah,
I would say so. So the monster is easily found out because none of the other buildings are breathing, apparently.
Which also is pretty clever.
Yeah. So after the monster is defeated, Luca and Kirihiko are talking on that one cliff looking over the sea from the theme song. Kirihiko thinks her pirate friends suit Luca. And that's not something he can replace with his billions of space dollars. But just the same, he'll keep peddling guy memories across the universe to make enough money to make their dream of the planet orphanage come true.
I do like how they don't say what his profession is. So I'm just going to assume it is guy memories.
Well, yeah, I kind of got from that he's not really doing anything on the up and up.
Yeah.
He's just out there doing whatever to make as much money as possible. So yeah, guy memory sounds
right. Guy memories works.
Yeah, he's got that huge spaceship from Close Encounters.
Yeah, that was just so random. Just suddenly, this huge UFO rises up from the water and he zooms off.
Yeah.
No, they couldn't think of any other way to end it by that point.
That was a really nice ship, too.
It was. Billions of space dollars. It's trillions of yen.
Yeah.
I liked earlier also when they had the exchange rate.
What was it? 360
it was like
yen to the...
I think it was
360
like...
zogin to the yen.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or 300 yen to the zogin?
Whatever.
I think it was more than that, even.
Whatever it was a lot better than the dollar to yen exchange rate.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, that's not hard.
Okay, so next week it's finally happening. Battle Fever powers. And the Go-Onger episode.
And Bulma.
And Bear V.
It's
toy.
Everything I've always wanted all at once.
And a guy arc.
Yeah, and the never-before-seen Gunman world. Which I'm saddened to find is just a Western-themed world and not Gurren Lagann.
Well, the monster does have a big face on his chest.
That wasn't uncommon in the Zangak, as I recall.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Heads will roll if there is not a new engine wrap.
There won't be.
There probably won't be.
Okay, now, in 15 minutes or less, Ken will tell us about Forze.
Will I now?
Well, that's the plan, anyway.
Yeah, anyway, starting with the football team being awarded a monument for the achievements by Shun's father, though it would seem like it's more for Shun than the team.
Go Captain Football!
Yes!
Go number two!
We see now that... Why is Captain Football such a dick? Because his father is a horrible person.
Well, of course his father is a horrible person. He's Asian.
And a football player.
Yeah. I like that... Captain Football's jersey is number two.
We've been over this, haven't we?
Well, it's the first time I've noticed that that's actually on. Is that the first time we've seen
that before?
Is that the first time his jersey's been seen? Or
it's in the credits every episode?
Yeah, the jersey in the first episode.
And he's named after number writer two.
Ichimonji, yeah.
Well, yes, Fort Max. That's why the him being number two on the football team is
exactly
entertaining. Otherwise, there would be no point to even mention it.
I do like how Mr. Suspenders and the female teacher are over there talking about how he's even being scouted by the NFL, and he just freaks out.
No, he freaks out about all the after after she mentions that all the girls love him.
Yeah, a girl would fuck him one time in all of high school. I'm going to take a wild stab and say he's a virgin. But anyway, his father questions Shun on where Miyu is, and we see that she is caring more about the Kamen Rider Club than her own cheerleading activities, while Forze nearly kills the entire club.
Pure accident, I'm sure.
By pure accident. No, this is Gintaro. It is pure accident. Because having him test those things in close quarters seemed like such a good idea at the time.
Well, it's still probably better than having him test them in the rabbit hutch.
Yeah, because, if he put a hole through the wall, that would probably end poorly for them.
And if he filled up the confined space with the smoke discharger, that might not be so good either.
Yeah. However, despite Miyu trying to take a leadership role, Gintaro, Yuki, and Kengo reveal they're stuck in extra lessons that Sunday.
And cue where I stopped liking the episode altogether.
I actually really like this episode, but
see, Ken, this is why you're doing Forze, because your opinion on it is contrary to everybody else's on the show.
Yeah. No, I don't hate it yet, but I'm not exactly
like
a huge fan.
I actually like this episode more than the last two, to be honest with you. But going on, at said detention, they find Tomoko is also there, muttering to herself. Shun, too, and they see that he is now dating that bitch back from episode 3 that Gintaro tried to recruit.
That doesn't narrow it down very much.
It was that one particular bitch that got thrown across the room. Bitch slap.
I repeat.
What was her name? I can't remember.
Reiko.
No, that wasn't it.
No, it's said in this episode.
No, that wasn't it.
I'm staring at it right now.
No, I seriously, that wasn't it. But go on, I'll figure it out later.
We also meet Mr. Satake, their somewhat frightening taskmaster for today.
And somewhat?
Somewhat, because he does not like delinquents. He's not a fan of them.
I guess he didn't like Cromartie High School much then.
Probably not. They're made to do their punishment, with Gintaro getting the worst of it, as Mr. Satake takes a page out of Takeru's handbook.
So he sits on a pedestal?
Well, no, I'm more talking about making him write all those symbols by painting them.
Well, at least he has an actual brush for his symbol power.
Yeah, there is that. Gintaro gets while Gintaro gets the worst of the punishment, Shun gets the least. Tomoko also reveals the somewhat unnerving way she got her detention.
She deleted everything.
Because her bow was slightly out of place. Slightly. Scares me a little bit.
I think that's the point.
Well, they're doing a good job of it.
It is entertaining in an extremely creepy way.
Yes, well, then there's the ink blot part a little later, too.
Meanwhile, back at the rabbit hutch, Miyu and Jake discover new Zodiacs is attacking outside the school in a first.
And they go to the weekend. School's out.
Yeah. They go, but the thing is, this does not seem to be a student. They go to investigate it, nearly getting killed in the process, because that seemed like such a good idea at the time. Though I will give Miyu points for marching up to it, even if it did nothing.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Kengo slips out. Best idea Jake's ever had.
Yeah, actually, Jake was fairly on the ball in this episode. I was kind of surprised.
Well, if he wasn't, he was going to get befriended again.
Yeah, he doesn't want that. I think he's more fearful of Gintaro befriending him like he does those people outside the school than anything else.
We need more. We need those guys to show up again.
Well, they have to recover from the last two beatings first.
Well, Fort Max, if you watched the episode. Anyway, because one of those guys actually is later in this episode. Kengo slips out to save them with the power dizer, but gets his ass kicked by the Zodiar as Zodiar escapes.
Well, of course, he's Kengo.
And yeah. It's this. Yeah.
Kengo needs to hand out the keys of the power dizer to somebody else who can actually use it.
I think. I'm kind of wondering after these episodes if they might not give that to Captain Football.
I'm afraid that's the way they may be going.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of built like a linebacker, isn't it?
And it kind of moves like one.
Exactly. Regardless, he comes back to class saying that
if they do give Captain Football the power dizer, that pretty much locks him in as the second writer in the series.
Maybe.
Well, that's the way I see it anyway.
Possibly.
You know, he would get that, then he would upgrade to the writer power.
I mean, if they were going to upgrade anybody, it's either going to be Kengo somehow overcoming his weakness or Shun.
Sage.
Because it's not going to be Jake, and it's not going to be the girls, so.
Right.
Or it could just be like every, you know, the past two series and not be the obvious person and instead be somebody else entirely new.
Screw that.
Yeah, in Double, I thought it was going to be Kirihiko, but that didn't happen.
And it won't be Kengo, because I'm pretty sure Kengo will die.
I hope they're going to avoid that this time. It's sad that that's a pattern now. Kengo comes back to Cass, giving Satake the excuse that he had to go to the nurse's office again. Because he apparently spends more time in the nurse's office than the school nurse.
I think we established that earlier.
Would the school nurse even be there on Sunday?
Of course, the way I understood it at first was that he spends more time in the nurse's office than he spends in the nurse. But, you know, your mileage may vary.
Well, that explains why he's in the class despite, you know, being, you know, a genius.
Sure.
Shun makes the dickish suggestion that anybody who gets 50% or less on the review test should be made to attend the extra lessons all the time. Gintaro flips his shit and ends up having to read all his crap upside down because Satake is kind of messed up in the head.
Special thinking pose.
Yes! That's what I was thinking.
And then Yuki whips out her
payback for the mustache.
Then Yuki whips out her special...
Oh yeah, Gintaro painted Shun's face.
And Yuki gets out her special space food.
Yes. And reads Gintaro his lesson.
Although, actually, the mustache kind of fills out Captain Football's face. I think he should grow one for real.
Does. He needs to grow some facial hair. Like
yeah.
That. If he's going to be a secondary rider.
Yeah, there you go.
Kengo does call Shun out on his crap, though. Which actually shows that Kengo seems to, I don't know, he keeps denying it, but he seems to almost be starting to stick up for Gintaro.
Well, if Gintaro stuck in there, who's he going to order around?
This is true also.
Kengo just wants to be the number one jerkass.
he doesn't want anybody muscling in on his territory. Jake, meanwhile, proves himself actually useful, getting information from Gintaro's favorite punching bag on the location of the new Zodiart. And as he tracks the guy down, he finds...
He's right behind him.
Yep.
Who saw that one coming?
Yep, because this wolf Zodiar transforms and chases after him. Gintaro escapes Shun's wrath to go save Jake, transforming into Forze and utilizing these smoke spike and winch switches. Though the winch switch was not being tested earlier, but hey, why not?
Well, they probably tested that before the spike and smoke switches and...
I might have said this before, but I actually kind of like that they're getting all these switches out of the way because they are almost halfway through them. They're on 14. There are 40. They're almost at the halfway mark. Give a couple more episodes. They will be at the halfway mark before episode 10.
Well, you'll lose like a dozen of them at some point.
You know, they got a lot of toys to sell.
I don't know. This doesn't seem like O's, so nobody's trying to steal them from him or anything.
Well, except Jake.
Yeah.
Well, he seems to have given that up this week.
It seems like they're kind of doing a slower way of the Ranger keys, where Marvel has had all the Ranger keys to start with. Eventually, he'll just be able to pick and choose from everything he has and only be concerned about his form changes, I guess.
I guess.
They could mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
I remember Double lost most of his Gaia memories in a couple episodes.
Well, there was that
one. Then got them right back. Episode.
Yeah, there was that one episode where they introduced Fang, but that was only so they could incapacitate Shotaro for an episode.
Well, and he also temporarily lost Gaia memories to Cockroach money.
No, Cockroach, right, yeah.
I remember because they had the one scene in the episode where Cockroach guy was trying to plug the memories into his foot port. And then it's like, man, are they going to sterilize those later?
Yes.
But that's not important now.
Anyway, Gintaro switches to elect state in order to finish this guy off. Except, he gets his rod knocked out of his hand by a football.
Ha! Huh.
He gets Dylan knocked out of his hand.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way to describe that. That does not sound like what it sounds like.
He lost his Billy.
Yes, he did. Anyway, Shun has shown up just to stop Gintaro from fighting out of pure pissiness. And when he calls him out on he'll be in trouble too, he gets even more mad.
Sure.
The Zodiac tries to escape and Gintaro gives chase with the rocket switch, but Shun thinks it's a good idea to hitch a ride.
Of course he does. He's Captain Football.
Yeah, of course. Then Forze gets blown out of the air, and that's where the episode ends.
Well, congratulations. You did that in less than 15 minutes.
But I like the episode. It introduces a different wrinkle in that it's apparently a Zodiac user that's not a student.
I guess whoever's handing out the Astro Switches had to deal with school being out that day.
Yeah, well, judging by the episode preview, we're still dealing with Scorpio anyway.
Well, there you go.
Well, we have Kirohiko left the planet.
Haha.
But I more or less enjoyed the episode. I liked it better than the Jake two-parter.
I'm not really that into Forze still.
It seems like to me they're doing a slow burn on character interactions more than overall plot to start with. Yeah, they want to build their cast and make sure that's a foundation before they move forward.
So they have a wide range of people to choose from to kill off in episode 48.
Exactly.
with the slow acoustic version of Switch On.
One thing
which I can't even imagine how it would work.
Well, I can imagine how anything goes would work, and yet there we were.
Well, the thing is, anything goes acoustic didn't work.
One thing I am liking on this episode, and I'm noticing after they have the focus episode of Gintaro befriending somebody, the person he befriends becomes a hell of a lot more likable in subsequent episodes. Because I'm actually really starting to like the role Miyu's taking, and Jake was actually bearable.
Well, I've liked Jake since the beginning. He's hilarious.
What's that?
Peldon?
That's because he didn't do as much in this episode.
Actually, he did he did a good amount finding the Zodiart.
But he wasn't talking most of it.
This is true.
Maybe Jake should be the second writer.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
And his helmet can have hair on it.
That he and Miyu actually proved to be kind of resourceful on their own does show them that they actually are good for his support team, to some extent at least.
I suppose.
No, he's kind of filling the role of the Fudo irregulars.
Basically, yeah. All in one person.
Yes.
Well, he is very irregular.
I think we had this joke before.
Yeah, probably so. He's Santa, but with more hair.
He's like Santa and Watcherman's illegitimate love child.
Okay, then.
Less said about that, the better.
With some queen mixed in.
Yeah, for being in high school.
Oh, no, I don't think that's why he thinks there's queen mixed in.
I was trying to avoid the obvious.
Yes, well, Mickey's not here this week, so we have to fill in the obvious as much as we can. Especially when it comes to queen jokes.
You said it.
Okay, so I think we'll go take a break now and... Paladin, you didn't send me your review this week.
I have nothing new, sorry.
Well, that blows. No, you don't have a Sun Vulcan robo or anything?
No, they apparently have forgotten about the Super Robot Chogokin version.
Oh, that never came out?
Yeah, that was out. Well, they haven't put out Gokaio hasn't come out yet either, and I thought that was supposed to be out a month ago.
No, well, Gokaio's out at the end of this month.
Well, I mean, like, originally I could have sworn the release date was around the same as Gokai Red's.
Well, perspective is different for Sun Vulcan, because that was shown off at the same time as the Super Robot Shogokin Shinkeno.
Yeah,
that was
and,
true.
And whatever but, Super Robot...
But was that one of the things... But were they? Was it actually shown as a upcoming product, or one of the prototypes that we're showing you, but, you're never going to get?
I think Sun Vulcan Robo was shown again this summer, along with the quote-unquote behind-closed-doors showing of Magic King. If I remember right.
The difference is people smuggled out pictures of Magi King.
Well, of course. It had a... It was surrounded in slides that said no photography.
Yes. That was just asking for it.
And there's plenty of pictures of Sun Vulcan Robo out there already.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Magi King does look better than Sun Vulcan Robo.
Well, yeah, it's not a stack of boxes.
Being... 20 years older. Probably something to do with that.
Okay, so anyway, take a break and come back to Power Playback after this.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey, this is JD from Fanboy Versus. Join me, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely live every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, or download the podcast. We'll discuss the week's biggest comic news as well as review the current week's best issues. So tune in to Fanboy Versus right here on the TF Radio Network.
Timmy eats real bread mayonnaise.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
So this week's Power Playback, because Let's Go Kamen Rider didn't come out in time, is Sun Vulcan, episode, what was that, 12?
11.
The Sorrowful Mecha Daughter.
And ironically, Let's Go Kamen Rider came out like 12 hours before recording.
Yeah.
So I was technically right, just not,
not enough for it to matter.
Yes.
Just like Fort Max. Speaking of which, Fort Max is going to talk to us about Sun Vulcan. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, not really.
What? Yeah.
Okay, well.
I don't even know where to start on this, so, yeah.
Neither do I.
Oh my god, this episode. Yes. If anybody saw my Twitter, it was just, what? This is up.
This is Showa.
And yet, I have to say, it was kind of a letdown compared to the title.
I'm not sure it was.
In Black Magma's secret base located in a map painting, they are building a mecha human to be someone's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that would
be a sorrowful daughter.
Yeah. A sorrowful mecha daughter. So that's how they came up with the name.
I never would have guessed that.
So I assume all of those women in that scene were supposed to be mecha humans.
Probably.
This is the first episode of Sun Vulcan I've ever seen. So.
Me too. And Rita was there too.
Yes. Is that what that? Oh, well.
Well, it was Machiko Soga.
Oh, what?
In the microphone hat.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if that was actually her.
Looked and sounded like her. And I know she had done a Sentai before, Jew Ranger. So,
this is probably Amanda.
Yeah, it probably was.
And of course, she was also main villain Spielbon.
Okay.
And she was in Magi Ranger. But. Anyway.
And then she died.
For real.
Thanks, XV.
That's my job.
But yes. So then, the mecha daughter just rings the doorbell of her dad's house. Despite having died like 2 years earlier or something. So,
Oh, she can tell him she was just at the bus station.
That's a little early for Die Ranger yet.
It's never too early.
Where do you think they got it from?
Right. So we understand your daughter died, so we're going to make you a robot replacement. That's cool, right?
As long as you do what we say.
Yeah, so then they come back, and in exchange for building him his daughter back...
Because they look so trustworthy.
They need him to breed some poisonous ferns that somehow ends up becoming a fernmonger.
And apparently, this episode of Sun Vulcan... Sun Vulcan is barely in it except to fight at the end.
Okay, yeah. Now, I don't think I realized before this that Sun Vulcan was an all-male team. And this episode actually ends up focusing on their, like, maid or secretary or whatever.
The boss's daughter.
Same difference.
Even better.
Who is,
especially in Japan.
Their boss's daughter, who also is their secretary.
Right.
And probably is also the waitress at their restaurant. Front cover.
Yeah, I kind of forgotten that they were an all-male team just because every time they change into Sun Vulcan, Luca is, you know, Volpanther.
Yellow.
Yep.
Didn't she be Volcougar?
It says Panther in here, doesn't it?
She's not old enough to be Cougar.
Okay, maybe not.
It's sad when Fort Max gets the joke, but Ken doesn't.
Are we anyway. Sure that it's in Barricade?
This episode has broken my mind, so...
Low blow, Fort Max. Low blow.
That's what she said.
Huh.
No, it's more like I can't form a coherent thought when thinking about this episode.
That's what your mom said?
But, at some point, Doctor decides to go out and start dragging his daughter around on a pair of skates.
I didn't know robots could roller skate.
Apparently neither did the robots.
And ends up being spotted by
Vol Secretary.
By Vol Secretary, who cannot skate at all and keeps falling on her butt.
I can't wait till Guy gets the Vol Secretary key.
No, actually, that'd be I'm again who gets the Vol Secretary key, right?
You sure it wouldn't be Doc?
Because it's made
Yeah,
up.
Doc would probably be more appropriate.
He does have nicer hair.
That it goes up to the doctor and basically, hey, isn't she dead? But he runs off with the sorrowful mecha daughter before she can ask him why his daughter isn't dead anymore.
She got better.
There's no way to describe this that does not sound just...
hilarious?
Well, yeah, this is before Metal Hero started up and Toei moved all the crazy over there.
So all the cat drugs went here.
Yes.
Into Stronger's costume.
He's the inflatable bug man, you know.
Yes.
The incredible inflatable bug man.
He's the wacky waving. He's the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing bug man.
So anyway, back at the house, Girl 01 or Girl Zero or
General
whatever,
Girl 01.
Yeah. General Girl 01.
Whatever. Girl Zero just goes off saying that.
So is Girl
can't let
Zero
the
like
sorrowful Mecha daughter be seen? And Vol Secretary goes back to the restaurant and goes to tell her dad and the Sun Vulcan crew that, hey, this professor whose daughter died, the daughter has stopped
Undied.
Being dead. And, of course, they don't believe her at all.
Well, she
of course not.
A girl.
She's female.
And it's, you know, what, 70s, 80s in Japan?
What, 81, I think?
Yeah.
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 Of course, he must be thinking. So, of course, she goes off and goes to find what the heck's going on. Which, that is very not early 80s Japan, apparently.
No?
I'm guessing not, because, it didn't involve her being a secretary for them, so...
I suppose.
She does seem to at least have some initiative, despite not having...
And I don't think she ended up... She didn't end up getting captured in the process either, did she?
No. Right. It's actually impressive.
Yeah, that is actually kind of out of the ordinary.
It's more than some actual Sentai girls manage sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not once was she captured. She got in, got out, without being caught, so...
And actually got the doctor out with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable.
See, she could be Vol secretary for real.
They should have given her the damn powers.
But no, instead she just gets to always be in a bikini in the opening.
Well, there's that.
Well, consolation prize.
You said like the bad thing.
Well, so consolation
it might be for her.
Well, yes, sure.
So that's what I was saying, though. It may be a consolation prize for the audience, but not for her so much.
Yeah, I guess so.
The cow's dying again.
No, I'm fine.
It sounds like it, anyway.
Well, anyway,
only you.
She goes to the doctor's humongous house. You, of course, go and see what's going on. But meanwhile, Fernmonger is on the loose, planting ferns that people are, for whatever reason, deciding to just start picking up and start getting poisoned. Because, of course, when there are just ferns growing around, you start pulling them up.
Of course.
Well, no, pulling them up like you would pick flowers.
Of course.
But
I like how it's early 80s Japan.
I like how this devious, ingenious plan involves going and planting ferns.
Yes.
Everywhere.
That's somehow sinister.
And then, of course, Sun Vulcan shows up and throws something at his head.
Was it a rock?
I think it was. Yeah, it was like
was it a big rock?
It was a big rock.
It was a rock, or maybe a bone.
They threw a rock at him.
It was that's a big was rock.
At. Yes, that's what I was getting at.
That's what I was getting at too.
And
the
then
classics it, never die.
And then, of course, the angry Pokemon fled.
What is this? A safari zone?
Yes. It certainly looks like it.
So then General Girl 01's mad because the poison wasn't fatal?
Temporary. Poison wasn't fatal. It was because they would just get better and after.
They used an antidote on it.
Because apparently poison works that way or something.
Well, he didn't breed a poisonous enough breed of fern.
So General Girl 01's all mad and threatening to take away his sorrowful mecha daughter.
And General Girl
01.
And General Girl 0 other girl is out tossing a ball to sorrowful mecha daughter, which...
You know, I have to say, when they're not being evil, these generals don't really seem like that bad of people.
Yeah.
Besides toying with a man's, you know...
Like I said, when they're not being evil...
See, well, here's...
Oh, all women do that.
General Girl 0 other girl must have been on a break or something. they only need to be evil on the clock.
So wait a second. The entire team of the heroes is men. The entire team of the villains is women. And the only girl on the guy side has no powers.
So this is Sailor Moon.
The opposite of Sailor Moon.
Well, Sailor Moon in reverse, but...
Don't have enough cross-dressing.
Well, we only did watch the one episode for it, Max.
There must be cross-dressing at some point, right? It's Sentai.
Well, it's old Sentai. Did they do that as much back then?
Probably.
Okay. But what was Ken going for with that comparison anyway?
I don't know. It just seems striking is all.
Oh.
Yay, sexism. What?
Sure.
So, of course, they're busy breeding the more deadly breed of fern. And that's when...
Vol Secretary.
That's when Vol Secretary comes in after... Dr. Sorrowful Dr. Father has left to go get a drink of water.
Why didn't you think of that 15 minutes ago?
That was actually kind of awesome.
Sorrowful Dr. Father.
Yes. You need to dub that in.
Goes to get a drink of water. So, and
fuck you, Fort Max.
Of course, then they go hide behind a door when General Girl 01 comes by asking what the heck's taking you so long. So then, of course, they dart out. They dart outside after Girl Zero, other girl. Notices something's going on and comes in.
I like how other girl has become a number now.
Yes. And, of course, then, of course, when running by, Sorrowful Dr. Father goes, picks up Sorrowful Mecha Daughter, despite Bull Secretary saying to leave her behind because she's just a mecha human.
This whole episode is kind of sorrowful.
Except for the hilarious part.
You mean the Sun Vulcan episode or our episode?
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
So then they run off to the cliff that apparently his house is right on.
Well, I mean, that's no worse than having your house back up to the concrete pipe field or...
You mean the pipe garden?
The abandoned warehouse district.
Yeah, he just built next to the abandoned rock quarry.
Right. Well, you know, my grandparents had a house about a mile from a rock quarry, so it does happen.
Yeah. Of course, they...
In Japan, everybody does it, though.
Yeah.
So every Tuesday morning, there'd be a loud explosion shaking the ground.
Rocks, they end up falling down into the quarry. And then, of course, then all of Black Magma comes with their giant remote.
Well, this was cutting-edge technology for 1981.
This is not before the disturbing scene where he picks up his... Sorrowful Daughter's face and back on.
Yes.
Yeah, nothing creepy about that at all.
No, he does especially it off since gingerly, and then
especially since the mask prop is this like sickly shade of brown yellow.
Oh, God, I'm gonna have nightmares again.
It's also kind of undone by the oversized mecha head mask that they've used in previous episodes and was.
For
definitely scaled for adults to be wearing.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, you know, every instance where it's the mecha daughter with the mecha daughter face, that's probably some little like midget stuntman, and not the little girl.
But anyway, good. Put it back on, and of course, that's also when Sun Vulcan shows up.
About time.
Oh, wait, this is their show, isn't it?
Yeah, what have they been doing the whole time?
I don't think there's, like, even a clear shot of the guys out of uniform this whole episode. There was, like,
just that one time in the restaurant.
But I don't think there's, like, there's not even any focus shots on them.
They weren't believing her.
Yeah, I don't think there was even any focus shots on them during that.
Like I said before, this episode ended up being mostly about Vol Secretary and the Sorrowful Mecha family.
And it's probably for the best, because the Vulcan guys didn't seem that interesting.
Well, of course they're not interesting. They're Vulcans. They have no emotions.
I do like how every part of, like, throughout the entire fight, whenever they're on screen, the camera just always is shooting straight up into the sky. That way they can get the sun in the shot. See? See?
Anyway, they use the, they use the remote to have Sorrowful Mecha Daughter kill Dr. Sorrowful. But she won't kill her dad.
Guess why? The answer may surprise you. Never seen any sort of TV show in the last 40 years.
So, of course, they activate the self-destruct.
What I'm really disappointed by here is that they went to all the trouble of having the prosthetic arm with the flip-down hand and the machine gun barrel in it, and it never shot anything. It's just wasted potential, you know.
They probably used it in another episode, just like the head.
Could be.
So anyway, she runs off, says goodbye to her sorrowful dad, and blows up.
Sorrowfully.
Yes.
So yay! Now he gets to see his daughter die again! But this and time,
in a horrible fireball,
instead of dying from his sickness. So they'll probably end up burying the remains right next to the previous one.
And the doctor will probably spend the rest of his life in an insane asylem after all this traumatic event.
Of course, they also finish the monster off with a beach volleyball.
Well, no, it's a four square ball. And that is their finisher.
Well, it is the 80s.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, look at what Jack did from time to time.
Yeah, but that was entertaining.
Well, I'm just saying, though, it goes to the pattern.
They didn't start doing the silly finishers until later in the series.
Yeah, but I mean, even the Go Rangers had their football.
Yeah, right, but that had entertaining side effects also.
But their original finisher didn't start doing entertaining effects until later in the series.
Oh, well.
This is only episode 11.
I suppose there is that. It just seems underwhelming. They smack him in the face with the volleyball, and then he just
blows up.
Like, wow, that's some weak ass monster.
So then, of course,
well, he is just a fern monger.
This is true.
Ferns have never been good at dodgeball.
Some gears start turning inside him. He jerkingly stands up and steps while growing. And so, of course, they summon the Zenith Carrier Zord.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So then they launch. So, of course, it launches Vol Eagle's jet and Vol Panther and Vol Shark's.
They turn into a giant robot and then they kill it.
Halves things.
Yeah, it launches Eagle and Panther's legs.
They don't actually show it combining.
No, they don't.
Implied.
It's three vehicles, and then suddenly it's a stack of boxes walking around.
And suddenly it's a man.
Their legs actually are combined to some tower crane thing that looks suspiciously like a pair of legs,
but also like a pair of boxes.
Yes.
Yeah. Several
boxes is the important part. And it turns into a robot that's at least a foot taller than the guy in the monster suit.
And also looks like someone looks like it's a Florodairy design.
Well, and it looks like, too, the stunt person in the costume is standing on, like, solid blocks that are the boots of the robot.
Yeah.
They probably are.
It's just really, really weird looking.
Yeah, so there are some stock punches, and they do their finisher thing, and then they go apologize for not believing Vol Secretary earlier.
But I like how abruptly it cuts from, like, they slash, explosion, and then all of a sudden, bam, right back on the ground.
Well, they spent so much time with the sorrowful mecha daughter, they didn't have enough time to do the fight scene properly, I guess.
And
which is also sorrowful.
And they don't even follow up on Dr. Sorrowful.
He just sits there in front of the grave. He probably jumps off the cliff in the next scene.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Not the way the show's been going so far.
Nope.
Well, that was certainly a replacement for Let's Go Kamen Rider, wasn't it?
If only they'd been a day sooner.
So yes, this certainly was a thing.
The thing that happened 30 years ago.
And is probably better off forgotten.
Well, it was something
catchy
to watch.
Theme song, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked Battle Bio better. You know, Crash Out.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what to think on this. One episode out of context isn't, you know, good enough to judge an entire series on. But
sometimes that's the only way to judge an entire series.
Oh yeah.
Didn't work too well for Kuga.
Maybe not.
Kuga is hard to just pick out a single episode of, I think.
Which is why I picked the episode with the biggest Rider kick ever.
And where nothing else f***ing happened.
That's not my fault.
Of course it's not.
Kuga just kind of has a pace, I think, that if you start getting into it at the beginning, it's fine as you go along. Coming right into the middle of it, it's...
Yeah, Kuga, like, builds up as it goes along.
So that when he does that huge-ass Rider kick that nukes half a city.
Yeah.
it kind of has an impact.
Because he hasn't been doing that before.
Yeah, and it's not the kind of person Godai is to cause that sort of destruction.
Sad Yusuke.
Yes.
Of course, it's not like it's the Decade One who's extremely sad Yusuke.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
In every way, basically.
Well, you know, the Decade Shinkenger crossover was like the most action Decade Kuga got in the whole run of Decade.
Actually, probably the best two episodes for Kuga were not even written by the main writers of Decade. They were written by Kobayashi. That would be the Denno episodes and the Shinkenger episodes.
And even the Denno episodes didn't treat Kuga that well.
No.
They treated him about as nice as the rest of the series, to be honest.
They still had him transform, which is more to be said for most of the rest of the series.
And there was the comedic rider kick against Momotaros, and then, and then the final attack ride.
Oh, yeah.
Final attack ride. Anal probe.
Nice get off.
I'm sure I had something else to say there, but it escapes me now.
So back to Sun Vulcan for a quick second.
Yes.
Do we know what their ultimate power is yet?
They haven't gotten there yet. I think, aren't they supposed to be kind of...
They have it. They have it already. They just haven't used it.
So it was the ones from the movies?
It's one of the ones from the movies. Now, they don't have Battle Fever J.
There's supposed to be a Sun Vulcan. I mean, there's supposed to be a couple of Showa era episodes coming up here eventually in the early 40s or something, right?
Right.
And I imagine one would be Battle Fever, since they don't have that power.
Exactly.
That will be an interesting one, to be sure.
Yes.
As will next week's fight, where you have Joe dancing with Thump Troops and leaning it down, and that's.
And the return of Bumper.
I imagine the Battle Fever J ultimate power will be just as useful as the Car Ranger one.
Well,
maybe
that will
actually
be dancing.
Dragon Fever.
It will definitely be dancing.
Yeah.
I want to see Gokaio break out into a...
Well, no. When the Zords do the dancing, that's O-Ranger's ultimate power.
Also, when the Zords do aerobics and play basketball.
Yes.
They've already covered O-Ranger's ultimate power. It was to give them the Super Highway Blaster.
Yeah, the O-Ranger's ultimate power is more toys.
Medallion Buster?
It actually is pretty fitting for O-Ranger. When you consider that there was a lot of mecha in the O-Ranger. A lot of toys in O-Ranger.
Yeah, you know, the last 2 weeks of Gokaiger with the Galleon Buster just appearing out of nowhere, I have to assume that we were right the first time where the thing that Doc was building didn't go anywhere, and it was just the power of the keys that made the Galleon Buster.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, they showed him fixing the Gokai guns in the next episode.
Right, and there hasn't been any other explanation for where the Buster keeps coming from.
Subspace.
While they still have their weapons working.
I just assume it is a combination of their powers and the O-Ranger's ultimate power.
Plus, the Galleon Buster doesn't use regular Gokai cylinders.
Nope.
So that's another indication.
I like how we went more talking about Gokaiger instead of Sun Vulcan.
So is
Sun Vulcan's kind of freaky, so that's understandable.
Kind of freak. That's the best way to describe it. It's not really bad. It's just kind of
freaky. At least this one is. I'm not sure if the entire series is like this, but I have no reason to suspect otherwise yet.
The next episode apparently involves diamond eating and a guy pulling a diamond out of his eye socket.
Thank God you said eye.
Diamond eating, pulling a diamond out of his. But no, is Sun Vulcan so far the only Sentai that's been all men?
I think so.
Wonder how that's
also the only one to be a direct sequel.
Because it's a sequel to Denji Man, right?
Yes.
How'd that happen?
One of the main villains from Denji Man comes back like within the first 20 episodes of Sun Vulcan and sticks around for the rest of the series.
Weird.
As is Sun Vulcan.
Seemingly. Well, this episode certainly was unusual for all the points we mentioned already. Not the least of which was the starring role of Vol Secretary.
Yeah, and the actual Sentai team barely being in the episode, except for the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Kind of like that one episode of Lost Galaxy.
Which one was
the
that?
The Starship Troopers episode.
Yeah, the Starship Troopers.
At least that had Leo and Mike in it.
Yeah, but it didn't actually have, you know, actual Power Rangers until
the last 30
seconds. Yeah.
It did have actual characters and not just a secretary.
Yeah. It'd be like if the entire episode focused on Commander Stanton and nothing else.
Well, that would be Star Trek.
Exactly.
Well, no, either Star Trek or like Babylon 5.
Probably Babylon 5 because that's their budget level.
Oh. I think Babylon 5 did pretty well with what it had to work with.
That was still kind of a burn, regardless.
They had to work with? You mean $5 in a coat they forgot about?
Hey, whatever works for you.
But enough about Ford Max's mother.
Well, if we had anybody that actually listened that likes Babylon 5, we've certainly lost them.
If we had anybody that listens.
Listens, period. I know. Hence the if.
Yeah.
Talking
hot. Well, yeah, but my point, though, was that you don't need the likes Babylon 5 qualifier. Because, you know, that would require anybody to listen in the first place.
I figured I would, you know, add a bit to that. Just the if by itself gets old after a while.
Well, if we had listeners who didn't like Babylon 5, the Babylon 5 comment probably wouldn't be the thing that drove them away.
Probably not.
That it would just be one of the many other comments.
Yeah, like the necrophilia with somebody's mother.
Yeah.
We've got our levels.
All of them for a nickel.
Sure.
Or less.
Yeah, sometimes if there's a clearance.
So, Ken, you got your Gokai Red in this week, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What do you think of that?
I like it a lot. It's a big step up, I think, from the Shinkenger body, which always felt a little too stiff somehow.
Well, my experience with Shinken Gold, you know, the mid-torso joint didn't want to move very much.
Yeah.
And, of course, the what they had for bicep swivels was more of a joke than anything else.
Yeah.
I could see where they were going with that, trying to not have the cut across the arm.
Yeah, but it just did not quite work.
No, it might have worked if not for the sleeve over the shoulder joint.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Shinkenger figure arts, and they're a good first try for Super Sentai. Just
yeah.
Gokaiger upgrades it.
The Gokaiger design works more to their benefit, I think.
Yeah, it works better. It works more like a rider design than it does like a Sentai design, because you have the coat and to kind of cut things off.
Right. What instead of having the sleeve over the shoulder joint, they've got the collar of the coat that can sit over and hide some of the joint workings.
I will admit that pulling his arms off to do the cross arm thing kind of scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I haven't really tried that yet.
I didn't really have any problem taking the arms off to do that. It was difficult to squeeze the arms back on.
It scares the crap out of me for a specific reason. My disintegrating War Greymon arm.
Yeah, but I think the shattering Shinken Red arms, that's just an isolated production.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. It still sticks in my mind every time I try it. I'm like, oh.
Why did that first War Greymon deteriorate more after you got it replaced?
I stuck it back in the box. I have not pulled it back out since.
It was just the elbow joint that crumbled away, right?
Yeah, it's like the elbow joint just came apart and I couldn't get back together.
Weird. Well, that's discouraging.
Yeah. Now, my second War Greymon, my Black War Greymon, have been fine more or less so far, though.
Yeah, I would say it's just, you know, production quirk.
Yeah, it seemed like it was.
And it was at most just a few Shinken Reds that had the arms break, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, on my Shinken Red, there was a part where the seam on his shoulder, it started to seem like it was coming loose, but I just pushed it back together and it's stayed tight ever since.
Yeah.
That seems like a rare case.
Yo, yeah. Because it's fine otherwise. And I'm still, if I can ever find him on Mandarake for, you know, not more than maybe 500, maybe more than 5,000, I'm probably going to try and eventually slowly get the rest of the Shinkenger figure arts.
I imagine after a while it wouldn't be hard to get them for, you know, 4,000 yen on Mandarake.
No, apparently even Kaoru showed up for only 3,000 recently.
Yeah, I mean, I actually...
Japan and she's female.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the thing you have to remember, though, is that, you know, most people in Japan live in walk-in closets for all intents and purposes.
Yeah,
they I know it's funny when I describe it that way, but that's basically what it is.
Oh, I know. They have to get rid of stuff to get new stuff.
Yeah, they get the stuff, they play with it for a while, they take pictures for their websites, then they sell it off for half of what they paid.
Yeah.
And then you go buy it on Mandarake for, like, three times what they sold it for.
But still less than when you would find it on, like, eBay.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, I was looking on Mandarake this afternoon just for, like, informational purposes. I saw there was a unopened Kiva Arrow for, like, 1,500 yen on
there. Oh, that Kiva Arrow has been on there for a long time.
I know, but if you look on eBay for Kiva Arrow or Blade,
yeah,
you know, those are $45, $50 each.
Oh, for 1,500 yen, if I was putting an order together, I would almost
definitely
in on it just for my Decade.
Right. Or if there was a Blade.
I didn't like the Kiva Arrow.
Or if there was a Blade, you'd get it for your Shinken Red.
Oh, definitely. Oh, if I ever find a Blade for a good price, I'm scooping that thing up.
Yeah. Well, you can always get the Final Form Ride Blade.
Would that be about in scale?
It wouldn't be any worse than anything else, I don't think.
Okay.
The Final Form Ride figures are... Let me see. I've got DN here. He's about a head shorter than Gokai Red.
Well, for just using the blade form, yeah, that would be fine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For using it for the sword, that would probably work out.
Yeah, it probably would.
All you have to figure out is if the handle would fit in one of the hands.
And it would work as a stand-in for Blade because he doesn't have a figure art yet.
Yeah, I am just glad that getting the figure arts for most of the Gokaiger team is not going to be as much of a hunt and search kind of task.
I think all you have to be concerned about for those is
Pink and yellow, yeah.
And gold mode.
Yeah.
Well, do we know what they're doing for gold mode yet?
No,
I'm just guessing, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Tamashii Web exclusive add-on pack.
Most likely. I mean, that seems like how they would go about it. Although, you know, since Gokai Silver doesn't seem to be coming with his own triple steering wheel thing, maybe his gold mode parts will be the first run bonus.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that just be perfectly evil?
Well, I don't think they've actually announced, because the first one, does it have a first run bonus on it?
Well, we don't know.
I think it says so.
So if it doesn't say so, it probably doesn't. Because they usually put that with the pre-order.
I don't know why they wouldn't put a first-run bonus on it, though. You know what I mean?
No, I suspect it will be like the web exclusive will be the armor with the steering wheel.
Now, I could get behind them doing it like that. For one thing, I wouldn't actually buy that, but,
yeah,
you know. But that'd be better than just selling, like, the gold mode armor by itself as an add-on, you know?
Yeah, well...
And the triple steering wheel thing is probably a little too big and expensive to do as a pack-in bonus.
There is that. But if they just make the gold mode, like, an extra bit of parts instead of a whole other figure, I will probably end up just skipping it. Like, you know, probably most of the module sets that'll come out for Forze.
Mm-hmm. But back to what we were talking about before, the only two complaints I had with the Shinhanger body were the bicep swivel and the mid-torso joint being so stiff,
mm-hmm.
and neither of those are the case anymore in the Gokaiger body.
Yeah, it's actually easier to pull off Takeru's signature pose with Marvelous than it is with Takeru.
Sad, isn't it?
I can never get like the Shinken Maru to just rest on the shoulder just right, just because of the way the bicep swivel is.
Well, and the pictures
and
I've seen,
Shinken Maru is so friggin' heavy, it just topples over.
And
you're thinking of Rekka Daisanto.
Yeah, I'm right. Sorry.
The pictures I've seen in the Japanese blogs and stuff of Shinken Red, none of them get it to do it either.
Yeah,
I mean it's in basically that position,
it's
but
kind
it's
of
not
hovering over the shoulder.
Right, it's not resting because the arm can't move that way. That's the failing of the Shinkanger body, and like you say, for the first time doing Sentai figure arts, you know, you're going to expect something's not going to work quite right.
Yeah.
But they just totally went back and covered what did not work in the Gokaiger body, and I'm thrilled to find that.
Yeah, I mean, you can do the roll call. They may put in a specific part just so he can have his roll call pose.
And I think the figure could probably cross its arms well enough on its own if it did not have the giant silver cuffs.
Probably.
I mean, it would get pretty close. Those just are blocking up the arms, and you can't get them to compress enough.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's not the first time they've done the cross-arm pose. I mean, look at Piccolo from last year.
Yeah. And I do like how the Gokai cylinders pop up out of the weapons, too.
Yeah.
That's an impressive detail they put into it.
Yeah, it's more than they've put into some of them. It reminds me of how they actually took Birth's weapon and made you able to swap out the magazine cylinder.
One little complaint. It's not even a complaint because I know this is completely ridiculous to even think they could do, but I'm kind of sad that the Ranger keys in the cylinders are painted over silver like everything else. I mean, I don't expect
that's,
that
yeah,
they
it's
would go
a really
and dab
small detail there.
Yeah, like I said, I don't honestly expect that they should go and dab on red paint onto that or anything. You know, just as much attention to detail as there is in the whole rest of it, including the little Ranger key accessories
which
that
I
I'm afraid
I'm
going to. I'm afraid I'm going to inhale those.
Yeah,
the Ranger keys and the cylinders are staying in the packaging and never leaving.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in my case, I'll have them out to do photography with them, but after that, they're not coming out again. But I'm just saying, yeah. after that level of paint detail on those,
which is impressive.
Yeah, it's just it doesn't seem like it's entirely out of the question that they could blob a little red paint on the end of those Gokai cylinders.
That's true, and the paint detail on the Mobirates is impressive too.
Oh, it's fantastic, and on the Gokai gun and Gokai saber too.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of the best paintwork I've seen.
Definitely, I mean, it's better than say. I also got Figure Arts Garo this week. And okay, it's great, but there is this one really obvious detail, and it sticks out: the fact that they did not even paint Zaraba on his hand. So oops. Zaraba is molded in, but he's gold.
Well, he's just blinged out this week.
It's just like everything on the figure works well. It's just that one little part sticks out.
Unfortunately, I don't really like the Garo armor design enough to have any desire for a figure of it.
I've grown very attached to it in the past week or so.
Apparently so.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about it. I just don't really dig the way the armor looks.
Well, that's good because he's only in the armor for a minute in every episode anyway.
Well, for up to 99 seconds.
99.9.
Close enough. Yeah, but, you know, by that last 9/10 of a second, he needs to be, you know, untransforming.
Yeah. Or else.
Or else, of course.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Or else is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, we've watched Garo. They haven't. Well, Paladin seems not to have. I don't know if Fort Max has.
I will in, I don't know, a couple more weeks when we have to do it.
Actually, that's next week.
That's just a movie.
Okay, then.
Yeah, that's
good
just,
enough.
Just Red Requiem, which I will not be able to say correctly during
Red
the whole run of the show next week.
That'll be fun.
But yeah, what I was getting to before on the figure arts thing is, you know, I went ahead and got Gokai Red and paid, you know, full normal price for it because I wanted to see if they had, you know, fixed up the Sentai body a little bit, and they really did do a good job on this. I'm really happy with how this turned out.
It does make me look forward to seeing how they might look at other teams. I don't expect I don't expect them to, you know, go back through the entire catalog like they are currently doing with Kamen Riders.
Right.
But I expect we'll get a couple of reds here and there at least, though.
I would expect, you know, the most we would expect for older stuff is to get a red and a sixth if applicable.
Yes.
You know, hopefully after they go through the Gosager phase.
the Gosager phase is just Gosei Knight.
Well, he is the only worthwhile one.
That's true. but if they do the whole team, then they can sell the Lucky Draw header armor as Talishi exclusive add-ons.
Like all machine armor?
Yeah. The Lucky Draw armor with the gumball machine swords.
Wait, what do we...
What?
What did we call it? Oh, yeah, the bodies of Tom Servo and Crow.
Well, that right there is more entertainment than I ever got out of Ghost Ager.
I was going to say what you will about Ghost Ager itself, but we got some mileage out of making fun of it. No, I hope once they get through with, you know, some of the more recent Sentai stuff, the next thing they'll do is go back to Jew Ranger, because I want a Dragon Ranger figure arts.
Yeah, I'm expecting them to do something with Goanger soon. Sometime in the next year.
That would be nice, too.
Goanger still seem to have a bit of lingering popularity.
I suppose so.
I'd like to see a Jetman figure arts at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah, we need a figure arts Black Condor to be an asshole to all the other figure arts.
Well, in the meantime, I can just pose Marvelous next to Tsukasa and Tendo. They can just be an asshole to the entire shelf.
And get the Die Rangers too.
Yeah. I saw somebody speculate that, you know, maybe they would do Deca Ranger soon too because of the dubbed SPD.
Which would be pretty friggin' awesome. I'd love a Deca Master figure arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of figures they could make out of that.
Oh, yeah.
They could make a Deca Break with Ball of Light accessory.
But, yeah, I would almost expect to see at least another team of some sort sometime like next spring, roundabouts when the new show is starting, but before the new show's figure arts will come out.
Yeah, I imagine GoBusters figure arts won't be until September, probably
like this
next
year.
Yeah.
Though, and Forze's figure arts coming out a little bit sooner than Oz's did.
Well, let's see. How long did it take for Double's figure art to come out?
I'm not sure. I know Oz's hit, Tatoba hit in February.
Was it February? I was pretty sure it was January.
No, it was February. And Forze's coming out in January.
Yeah, so that just... I still wonder when Cyclone Joker came out. I wonder if I can find that real
quick.
That was
before I got into the stuff, back into the stuff.
I wasn't paying attention then, so I don't know.
Let us try HLJ. They probably have the information, at least. Even if it's not there anymore. If it's not in stock, I can search discontinued. Because now I'm curious.
It does feel like they keep getting sooner and sooner every year, because Birth also came out before Axel did, in terms of months.
Well, you know, once they've got a good body form down, they can probably start working it a little bit faster every time.
Yeah.
That's your mother's strategy.
Let's see. Well, there's all the Master Grade kits, but that doesn't really help. If I liked model kits more, I'd probably be all over that.
If I had room for model kits.
Well, that helps too, I guess.
Because I still have several Gundam kits just sitting around.
Well, they're just as good sitting around as built. Right?
I have remains of Gundam kits sitting somewhere. That's why I don't do models anymore.
Sad trombone. I wish this was organized a little bit better.
Huh, yeah, that would be my issue with HLJ.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Organization?
Yeah, no. Consistent
they
naming?
They actually used to be better at that, it seems like. I used to be able to search for figure arts, and I would be able to pull up all the figure arts. Instead of figure arts, or figure arts, or just figure arts.
Like I said, consistency in naming? Nah.
Yeah.
Figure arts, Kamen Rider, Double Cyclone, Joker. Originally released February 2010.
Okay, so it was about the same
time as... It and O's went at the same time, and now it's just Forze going a little faster.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing, because Forze isn't as good as either of them. Today.
Yeah, but it's more toyetic.
I don't know about that.
With all the modules, sure it is.
Oh well,
it's at least as toyetic as O's.
So yeah, it's at least as.
Maybe. I still miss my Gaia memory stuff, though.
I will agree.
That was the best gimmick ever. Just because it can be infinitely expanded and it's always going to be backward and forward compatible. You know, they can make a whole new line of Gaia Memory toys right now.
They'd probably sell.
And if they kept the connection type the same, you know, everything would work backwards and forwards. It'd be seamless with the existing stuff.
But people would want that, which is why they won't.
Well, there is that. Well, are they still doing occasional, like, capsule Gaia Memory sets?
No, at the moment, they are pretty much done.
Damn.
I know, of course, then again, you have to think. Double's coming back in December with the movie. So.
And in Korea.
Yep.
But yeah, enough of all that. We've dawdled on for an extra half an hour or so, so we should be right up to our normal time.
Hooray!
Yeah, so so next week we're watching Garo Red Requiem.
And Let's Go Kamen Riders?
No.
Oh, God. In 1 week, that would be kind of insane.
No, the earliest we're going to do Let's Go Kamen Rider at this point is probably going to be for the week of the 7th.
Mm.
Which is where Sun Vulcan would have gone if we did Let's Go Kamen Rider this week.
Which is plenty of time for this, for Let's Go Kamen Rider to break your brain if you try to make sense of it.
Plus, that gives me plenty of time to re-encode it and try to upload it 5 or 6 times around connection failures.
Really? That's all?
I'm being optimistic. Okay, the Let's Go Kamen Rider as it is right now is almost 2 gigabytes.
Yeah,
when
like
I,
gig and a half.
When I downscale it and hard sub it, it'll probably come out, you know, around 850, 900 megabytes. That will take around 14 hours for me to upload.
Oh, God.
So, you know, in the space of a week, I can only really try 5 or 6 times. So there you go.
That's 7 days in a week.
So that's how my math works. Yeah, I know. I need Mickey or Fort Max's internet.
Even mine.
How fast is your upstream?
Never mind. My upstream sucks. My downstream's great.
Upstream, that's what she said.
I knew there was a your mom joke in there.
Yeah, that's a good point. My upstream is kind of awful.
When you talk about, you know, bandwidth and going upstreams, and that's all about your mom. Your mom has infinite bandwidth.
Your mom is infinite width.
By which I mean the band around her stomach. No? Okay. Well, that's our show for this week, and then some. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We are not in the least bit sorrowful.
But we may or may not be Mecca and Daughters. And Fort Max abstains.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Although I'm not sure it really counts as abstinence when it's not by choice.
Huh.
Fort Max is just denying me my satisfaction by not commenting at all.
Sounds about right.
If you could see me, you'd be seeing me nodding.
That seems about right, too. Well, you know, if we do that video show like we've been talking about, we could see you nodding.
Oh, that'd be a tremendous mistake.
Well, I'm actually considering a live video episode for the 2nd anniversary show and doing Shin Kamen Rider for Power Playback.
Oh, shit. Just so you can see people's reactions when they talk about it.
Well, no, because see, I'm not going to do one without the other. So if Paladin wants to talk about Shin Kamen Rider, he's going to have to agree to the live video show and to appear on the video.
You're an evil bastard.
That's kind of,
I do my best. I am an evil bastard genius. Thank you.
No, I don't agree to that last part.
I don't know. I think it's pretty genius to hold one over the other over your head. If I really wanted to push it, I would say we'd do Digimon Frontier on the live video show.
I was about to say.
But even I don't want live video that much.
Can we compromise and throw in Technoman somewhere?
Actually, I've wanted to do Technoman. You know, I don't know if you remember the last time we talked about it. I was kind of in favor of it, but it was just a matter of finding episodes to watch.
It's out on DVD. I'm sure there's good quality episodes out there.
Hmm. Probably.
Are the DVDs still in print?
Yeah, I think so.
Or maybe so.
Both the American and Japanese versions.
Well, I'd probably skew toward the American versions.
Just for hilarity?
I tend to skew toward dubs when possible. You know, fan subs are one thing where it's like, you know, okay, I'm getting this for free. I can devote the time to sit and stare at it so I know what they're saying.
Would it be the passable dub or the UPN dub?
I would prefer the passable dub because didn't the UPN dub only consist of like half the series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer the passable dub so that we could like pick and choose through what we would actually look at, you know. No, I'm totally in favor of doing Technoman at some point here because I'm interested in, you know, doing like outside the box kind of things with this.
We should do the Sky Surfer Strike Force at some point too.
I want to do that too, but Walmart doesn't have those DVDs anymore.
The what?
Sky Surfer.
The Sky Surfer Strike Force.
Damn, let me find that. That's gotta be on YouTube, right?
Maybe.
We have gotta show Ken this while we're still recording.
It sounds like something I've heard of, but I don't think I've
okay, actually... here's the intro, or so it says.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it's the...
Probably repress the memory.
I don't know if it's the good first intro or the hilarious second intro.
My God! How can anybody talk that fast? It's like the Robotech narrator.
I think this may be slightly sped up.
No, I'm pretty sure this is real.
What the f***? When the hell was this made?
90s.
Oh, of course.
That explains a lot, doesn't it?
It explains everything. It is so very 90s. Of course, it's Mecha Surfers.
And their surfboards turn into little cars.
No, it's the other way around. The cars turn into the surfboards.
Well, then, by extension, the surfboards have to turn back into the cars, don't they?
How many episodes did this run for?
26, probably.
I think it was seriously?
Maybe 13. Yeah. There's a second version of the opening that I want to try to find. Let's see.
Maybe... It has Scott McNeil in it. It can't be all bad.
Everything has Scott McNeil in it.
Especially in the 90s.
Scott McNeil has done plenty of things.
If it's made in Canada, it has Scott McNeil in it.
Yeah.
Let me see. Like,
sometimes even if it's not made in Canada, it has Scott McNeil in it.
Okay, this is the version of the opening you need to watch.
Yeah, no.
Fallon knows what I'm talking about.
Season 2? Oh my God.
That was probably the other half of the 13 episodes.
No narrator.
Is that better or worse?
I'm not sure.
Just listen.
What the f***? Are they serious? God's name.
We've got to do this show.
Who thought this was a good idea?
UPN.
Oh. That explains everything.
No, this was syndicated. It wasn't a UPN show.
So it's probably
I'm still going to blame them for it.
It's probably still on UPN then.
No, I think this was a Bobot thing.
There are no words.
There really aren't. If you thought the Sorrowful Mecha Daughter broke your brain...
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.